Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area, and the fastest-growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 200,000 listeners in over 80 countries. During the both hours from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be interviewing a fascinating man named David Adair, who is part of the Secret Space Program. He was on my television program several days ago, and I enjoyed talking to him so much that I decided to have him back again today. I want to thank everyone's support for so much. I'd like to thank everyone so much for their support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. And I especially want to thank Corey and Saul from Kirkland, Washington, for their generous support, which I just received today. I'm absolutely speechless with their generosity, and I want to thank them so much. If you'd like to donate, just go to the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. And I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, and we're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 80 countries. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website, providing wonderful support. My friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, KKNW, without whose help, and my program engineer, Eric, without whose help this program would not be possible. I also have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who have passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793 or toll-free at 1-888-879-8339. My next galactic conference will be held at the same location in Olympia, Washington, at 9101 Stillicum Road, from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. We'll have some amazing people, including Aaron Elizabeth of Health Nut News from Florida, as well as Simon Parks, who will be giving presentations. And if you register before November 1st, the cost for the three-day conference will only be $55. If you'd like to register, please just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. In addition, this summer, next month, from September 6th to the 12th, I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth. I've been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta and the Hollow Earth for the last 2 years, and this is an amazing and wonderful opportunity for people to visit Telos and the Hollow Earth. We're having people this year. We have a wonderful international a group of people coming from as far away as Germany, Ireland, England, Mexico City, across Canada, and of course all places across the United States. When I was at Mount Shasta in early July, the Sasquatch visited our camp repeatedly, and they built this beautiful peace mandala made up of twigs and rose quartz crystals from Telos. And they did that to help peace in the world, and they're such benevolent, beautiful creatures. We saw them actually in the campsite, in the camping area. The cost for the trip is only $200, and it includes free dry camping as well. If you'd like to go, there is still some room left. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also wanted to tell you that I have some wonderful psychic and spiritual fairs coming up on September 29th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., I'll be having a wonderful Out of This World Galactic Wisdom Psychic Fair in Olympia at 9101 Stillicum Road, Southeast, and the event's free, and I hope you can come. Then from November 10th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., I'll be having a very special Psychic and Haro Fair with Michiko Hayashi from the Emoto Peace Project in Tokyo, Japan. The fair, again, will be held at 9101 Stillicum Road, Southeast in Olympia, and the event's free, and I hope you can come. To talk about it now, I'd like to bring on my good friend Michiko Hayashi from Tokyo. Michiko, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Ted. I'm here. Thank you so much for having me here.
Oh, good.
So good to talk to you. Hello, everyone.
It's so good to have you on today, Michiko. Tell me, what time is it there? Is it very early in the morning?
Yes, it's Saturday morning at 8 minutes after 6 in the morning.
Okay. Well, when you come to Olympia and give your presentation on November 10th, I promise you I'll buy at least one cup of coffee to make up for getting
you
up so early today.
I'm having one already here now.
Oh, good. Well, Michi, tell us about your Haro things and what will you be doing on November 10th?
On November 10th, I will be bringing two kinds of Haro machines that Dr. Emoto's very best student made. He was using Dr. Emoto's machine, the machine, Haro machine. Haro means a vibrational machine that Dr. Emoto was using many years ago and to cure many people. And this student whose name is Yoshi, who was there at your Galactic Wisdom Conference, Ted, he developed his own machine after many years. And this is called Kazutama system. With this machine, what he does is it measures everyone's energy and Haro vibration of all the organs and everything, and what it can do is it finds out where the disturbing vibration of the people and also emotions, negative emotions that are causing the problem. Because most of the problems come from the negative emotions. Well, and the negative emotions come from the karma, negative karma. Yes.
I have to share this story with all my listeners around the world. I hope you don't mind me mentioning it, Michi. But when you were here in March of this year at my Galactic Wisdom Conference with your other friends from Tokyo, you had a lady come in, and she hadn't spoken to her daughter in decades. There has been a lot of friction, and she was getting older, and she really wanted to get in contact with her daughter again in a good way. And so you did a session with your Haro machine for her, preparing this water and making it a certain vibration. So then, it sounds simplistic, but she drank the water and then do you remember that story, what happened to her?
Yeah, I do remember that, yes. And then she said she went home, and then I don't know whether she called or her daughter called.
I think her daughter called after
many years. And so she was really surprised because that was the major issue that she had. So this is what the vibrational machine can do. That's how vibrational machine can help people. So a lot of times that can be the human relationship. A lot of times that can be our disease, the physical diseases or physical problems, or it can be some kind of action. The negative D's that they have, but it can help all the people with the negative negative patterns of everyone or negative problems of everyone, and that helps people.
Well, it's an amazing thing that you do, Michiko, with your work, and I'm so happy you're coming here on November 10th, 2019. She'll be giving a presentation and doing Haro sessions at 9101 Stilicum Road in Olympia. It's about an hour south of Seattle, Washington, here on the West Coast. And if you are in the area or would like to come in, if you want more information, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call 509-750-9793. The event is free, open to the public, and I'm so happy, Michi, that you'll be coming in for this special event.
Thank you. And I will be making specialized, personalized, programmed water for the people who will take this session. Not really, it's not for free, but it's with donations. So I hope everybody will come and we'll experience this amazing Haro machine.
Oh, I'm so glad you're coming, Michi. I know people love your message and love the work of Dr. Emoto and especially your children's books. So I'm really looking forward to having you come.
Well, thank you so much, Ted, for bringing me there. And I look forward to being there for everyone.
Michi, would you like to play your 528 tuning fork? I have one here if you need one.
I Okay, I do have it. Would you like me to do the water ceremony?
Sure, please do. Please
do. Okay, thank you.
This is a 528 hertz tuning fork. This is the love vibration she's transmitting all over the world.
Let's visualize all this beautiful earth being in peace, in harmony, and wrapped with the golden light, okay? Water, we're sorry.
Water, we're sorry. Please say after us.
Water, please forgive us.
Please, water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we thank you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we love you.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, we're sorry.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, please forgive us.
Water, we thank you so much.
Water, we thank you so much.
Water, we love you very much.
Water, we love you very much. Thank you so much, Mitchie, for coming on my show today. I really appreciate it.
Well, Ted, thank you so much. And thank you so much, everyone. And look forward to seeing everyone on November the 10th.
November the 10th. Absolutely. It's a free event. And I hope everyone, you can all come. Michiko, have a beautiful and happy day. And thank you again
thank
so much.
Thank you, you too. And everyone, thank you. And have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mitchie. Let's play the water song just for a minute or two now, and then we'll go on to my good friend David Adair. Thank you so much, Eric, for playing that beautiful Japanese water song that was done some years ago in honor of Dr. Masaru Emoto, who, when he passed away in 2014, was considered the 17th most spiritual man in the world and person in the world. And I'm so happy that that we could play that today. With that, I'd like to bring on my good friend David Adair, coming to us live from his home in West Virginia. David, hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Oh, wonderful. Absolutely wonderful, David. You know, I enjoyed talking to you so much on my TV interview with you a couple days ago that I just had to have you on. I'm so happy you could come on my radio show again today because you're such an incredibly interesting fellow. We talked about so many things, new technology that's been hidden, new technology possibilities for humanity on this planet, the space program, the things that people don't realize what's going on in space, and your own incredible childhood, too, and how you started. How by age seven you read about 800 books on science and math, and you astounded your librarian friend, and she didn't know what she made you a librarian so you could order more books.
I know. She didn't realize she set a monster loose upon the world.
You know, David, I think we should start off with that story. Tell us a little bit about your librarian friend and how she saw you in a library there in West Virginia, and you were
right.
6 or 7 years old, and you were sitting reading all these science and math books that most adults couldn't understand, but you were just kind of breezing right through it, right? I mean,
yeah, I was sitting over in the science, I think it's 600 bracket of the Dewey Decimal System. But anyway, I was over there in the science books. She walked up to me, and I'm sitting on the floor in the corner, so I won't bother anybody. And she asked me, are you reading these books? And you went, well, there's no pictures in them. And I didn't realize that sounded like a smart answer or a smart aleck answer. But she realized I wasn't being smart at it. I'm just telling her. And she said, well, how many of these have you read? And I went, all of them. That's about 800 of them right there. And she said, all of them. Well, how much do you remember on them? I said, all of it.
Oh, my goodness.
So she said, yeah. I said, yeah, grab a book. And she did. So she reached up and pulled out this book and pulled it down. And she opened it up and she says, I'll make it easy. This is the first page of this book. What's it say? Well, can I have the title of the book? That would help.
Yeah.
So she told me the title, and it was Anomalies with Singularities. And I went, oh, yeah, it's a good book. they're going to explain to you a singularity. And on page one, it says singularities are the results of a death of a star by the compressing mass till it ignited and become the sun. And she closed the book, and she said, holy smokes. You got every word right. I said, yeah, I remember it. So she said, well, would you like to get some more books? I said, I don't think so. I'm 6 years old. Nobody's going to get me a book. So let's see. No, I think I was 8 years old at the time. She told me, come back to the library later that evening. I did. And she were going to make me a special librarian. I was big enough just to carry some books around. So I said, fine. And why don't I want to do this other than I don't mind helping you? Mm-hmm. She said, you can order any book you want and as many as you want.
Oh, my goodness.
And I went, really? So she said, you could order 1,000 books a year. It'll just come right through the systems. Mm-hmm. And I went, holy smokes. And man, did she open the door up for that one, because I started ordering all kinds of books. And in a few years, I had read thousands of books, and it was a big help, because it really helped me zero in on where I could find information, who's working on what, and who's involved in what. And there was no internet back then, no cell phones, no pages, no tablets, no modems. Phones were rotary dialed, hanging on walls.
Yeah, I remember those days. Sure.
But I was able to get my hands on the latest knowledge in certain areas that's hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do order through librarian systems, they had a state-of-the-art at the time retrieval system that really was probably the precursor to the internet. So I was lucky, and I just sat there and read continuously and then hauled some books around for them, and it was a good trade-off. Mm-hmm. So that really gave me an edge in a lot of areas, because I could have exposure to the to the written knowledge of what was available back then.
Sure.
And it was really it's amazing. When I first started in the electromagnetic fusion containment area, mm-hmm. there probably wasn't even 100 books written on it.
Wow.
And so I just had to sit and write my own books on it.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Yeah, I have so many books that I have written, and none of them are published, and people have been getting on me about having them published. But, you know, I didn't write them to publish. I wrote them so I could have them for my own reference.
Mm-hmm.
And I have an entire library now after 50, 60 years of it. So, Yeah, I guess I should do something about that.
You should probably hire maybe a librarian. You could hire a librarian, David, and to help you with organize your things and get some things ready for publication. That would be fun.
Yeah, I think I should. I have one book that it's pretty much my life story. That thing's going to get printed for sure, because there's a they're writing a script as we speak for a 2-hour silver screen movie on me.
Oh.
So I don't know which studio is going to be doing it, but I know the scripts are almost done. And I've looked at some of it, and it's really well written. But it's going to be something to take. I'm going to have to work on getting used to is having people watch me in a movie theater.
Oh, that's going to be fun. That's going to be fun, Dave. Well, you have to tell me about it so we can give you some good promotions on my show and television show.
Sure.
Too, when you do. You know,
yeah,
most people. Are you there?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay, David. I have to ask you this question. I hope you don't mind. But
no, please.
Most people, you know, if they have free time, they might go fishing or take a walk, or perhaps they'll go out to dinner with friends. But in your free time, you actually have reverse engineered an extraterrestrial energy device, and you've figured out how it runs. Could you tell
yeah.
us all about that? That's incredible.
Yeah, the device that I was taken to see when I was 17 years old in Groom Lake, Nevada, it was an electromagnetic fusion containment engine. Mm-hmm. Now people go, well, how could you tell if it's alien built? There are universal shapes and designs in construction of devices. You could have a 12-cylinder Lamborghini engine sitting on the floor, and you could have a Model A Ford engine sitting on the floor next to it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you look at it and you go, well, the Lamborghini's so much more sophisticated and so much more power. Yeah,
right.
That's true, but both of them run on the exact same principle. Mm. They're an internal combustion engine. They've got intakes and exhausts. They have commularities that you can just see instantly through the engineering of it. Well, that holds true even if you encounter alien energy devices or power plants, which is what this thing was.
Wow.
And it was of the electromagnetic fusion containment design, because of the way the thing was shaped and built. It had twin cyclotrons, and it also had all the necessary piping for the plasma to flow through in a figure eight pattern, which is the key to fusion containment. If they don't change your designs that they've been on for the last 75 years, you're not going to see fusion containment in your lifetime.
Wow. Wow.
That's something that they need to address or do. I haven't been around, I guess, to tell them,
mm-hmm.
but mine works fine. And when I rebuilt mine, I also cheated some. I remembered all the alien designs and networks, and I incorporated a lot of them when I rebuilt this one.
Mm-hmm. Wow! So, wow!
Yeah, so it's this efficiency design is much better than my original design.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's a tremendous amount of power containment involved in these things.
Wow.
And the hardest part about it is getting the fields to set up and sustain so you can have the plasma fury to fly inside the magnetic fields. There's no material, I don't think of, at least not known to us, but it may be something somewhere else. It'd have to have a totally different atomic code from the periodic table. But there is no material that can withstand the force of a... of an internal combustion or not, yeah, an electromagnetic containment field. Trying to keep this simple.
Yeah, no, that's fine. It's a little bit like what you talked about earlier about inventing a Lamborghini in 1898, and there's no roads for it. Gasoline hasn't been processed yet, So it's going to sit in the garage until the fuel or the technology or the society catches up with it. And one follow-up question too, David. Didn't you say you were shopping at a thrift store and you found this machine on sale for 99 cents? Something like that? Just kidding, but
okay. Now I don't recall that.
I was just making a joke that you found it at a thrift store, but how did you come across the engine, by the way?
Oh, courtesy of the U.S. Air Force. The CIA. What happened was I had finished our engine that we built, and I had an electromagnetic fusion containment engine that is designed for a rocket burst. And when we took it to the Air Force base in Dayton, Ohio, mm-hmm. We got on board a C-141 Starlifter, and we flew out of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Dayton, Ohio, mm-hmm. and we flew straight into White Sands Missiles Proving Ground in New Mexico, and that's where we offloaded the rocket, and me and Colonel Williams and a few of our staff people that was with us, and we set that thing up for a launch for the next day. So on June 20th, 1971, we launched PISLM, and but it did more than I was expecting. Power curve ratio was, I'll have to admit, I completely missed. I was expecting something along the sides of a BB, and power, and I received a railroad boxcar.
Oh no! Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
This thing covered about 125 miles in 3.2 seconds. That's
really?
I think it's about 137,000 miles an hour, and that was just a controlled burst. It wasn't really burning.
Uh huh.
If it kept on going for another two more seconds, it would have broke Earth's gravity field. It was already past 25,000, which is what's necessary to break the gravity field of Earth.
Wow, amazing!
That was nearly five times the speed I needed, but I had it set where it would shut off because I couldn't keep my fuels sustained for more than 4 seconds, and that's a problem with everybody today. They can't get their fuels to sustain. The community and the fusion containment community is not even beyond 1 second.
Wow.
So I had 4 seconds back in 1971. That's an eternity in time in that area.
When, if I may ask, David, when do you think this technology might be available for use here on the planet in a good way, providing energy for humanity?
Yeah. Well, it depends on the labs that and the countries that will replicate all the information. I've built complete schematics, blueprints, diagrams, even a list of materials, even a list of tools, everything you need to build and replicate this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they are sitting in all that information, data sitting in servers across the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And upon my demise, it will all then will be dumped onto the World Wide Web.
Oh, wow.
So everybody should have a lot of paper in their printers that day.
They'll
be able to get everything they need. And then what will happen is I would suspect that some independent lab in some small third world country is going to want to replicate it because it's clean thermal fusion power.
Wow.
Clean radioactivity, free nuclear energy.
Wow.
Because these engines and these fields that I have, mm-hmm. inside the fields, they're at 100 million degrees centigrade.
Hmm.
I'm about 10,000 times hotter than the surface of the sun.
My goodness.
And because of those extreme temperatures, mm-hmm. The fuels that you're using, in my case, was deuterium.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another element in there I won't say, but it's common.
Mm-hmm.
The chain reaction is contained inside the fields, that enormous temperature, is also contained in the magnetic fields. So what happens is when the reactor's through running and you shut it down, you cool it, let it cool down, then you can open the doors and walk in a shirt sleeve environment. Zero radiation, none.
Wow.
A clean thermal fusion power.
My goodness.
And the only way you're going to attain that is through the electromagnetic fusion containment process.
I see.
All you people know about nuclear energy is the evil twin.
Mm-hmm.
That's fission and fusion. What I'm talking about is the good twin that y'all have never met yet. It's called fusion containment.
Okay.
And it is basically clean thermal fusion power once you get up and running. And so who would not want that? So some little lab is going to get this data, replicate the reactor or power plant, and then they'll be able to get the same exact results. And to answer your question, how they're going to use it, I just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a it's going to be a mayhem, because you can imagine what the oil companies are going to say. The natural gas, coal, all the energy on this planet, they're going to just go nuts. It's going to be the history repeating itself, like you own the Conestoga Wagon Company. And somebody walks in and asks you, have you heard anything about a steam engine?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's going to be the same way worldwide.
Wow.
And
amazing.
Just by sheer necessity, they're going to end up using it. And then what's happened, these smaller countries, they'll get this power and they'll start producing it and running it. And then the big ones, companies will come in and they'll want the same thing. So by sheer necessity, it will press them into a corner where they would have to use this technology. And the minute they shift to it, there's your paradigm shift. That's like we had a paradigm shift when we discovered nuclear power equals MC squared, and it changed a lot of things about what we understood about science and how you apply it into the applications. So the same thing is going to happen when this shows up. And but it's a chance for the world to break away from fossil fuels, good name for it, primitive.
Interesting.
The entire world is ran by a primitive form of fuel, which is oil. My God, it died out millions of years ago. Maybe it should have stayed dead.
That's
so,
funny.
I don't know why they didn't go down the road that I went down. And the only reason I got pulled into all this other crazy stuff is that they were trying to replicate this thing, and they were trying to reverse engineer it at Groom Lake, and they didn't have a clue how it worked. Mm-hmm. Not a clue. And so we had a big argument over that.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was theirs, they certainly would know something about it. They didn't know anything. They had no paperwork on it.
Mm-hmm.
They had no design, charts, graphics, evolution of blueprints or anything. That's how they built themselves up to it. And it just obviously, they just found it, you know, or I asked them, did you dig this thing up when you dig this base underground? You know, it was so huge. Did you find it? Did you shoot it down?
Uh-huh.
You know, that couldn't get any answers, because there are no answers. There's nobody knows anything about it.
Hmm.
Other than they probably, I think they may have found it, because, but it did have a damaged area on it that was pretty bad. But it was done by some kind of weapon that we just don't have anything like that, at least that I know of.
Sure.
And plus, this thing is really old. It's not thousands or hundreds of thousands. It's not even millions. It's billions of years old.
Really? My goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're looking at about 8.5 billion years old.
My goodness.
That's about half the age of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably... This thing is probably one of the oldest relics of the entire universe. And it doesn't come from any planetary system or not even a galaxy. It comes from in between the galaxies.
Oh,
we used to not think there was anything between galaxies, just dark matter, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we're finding there are actually solar systems out there in between the galaxies.
Really? Fascinating.
Yep. that's wow. been discovered. There are actual solar systems out there. There's so few of them, you don't see them. And they're not a mass where you have like a billion stars clustered together or hundreds of billions to form the Milky Way, the galaxy that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
No, these are just, they're just like specks of dust, but they're complete solar systems with their own star.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, that's I believe, is the origin of this device. And so, you know, I've known this since 1971, and I would tell people, you know, there's something out there among the galaxies. There's planetary systems. And, of course, they thought I was nuts. There's no such thing, no proof, no anything. Well, it wasn't too long ago that Hubble found a solar system out there among the galaxies. So
wow.
there is something out there. And anyway, this is unlike any technology anybody's ever seen. But it's not alien to us in a way as being able to understand it.
Right.
It's the other side of the coin that we've been using. We've been using fission and fusion on this planet since the 1940s. But the other side of the coin is fusion containment. And that we have not used or even researched that much. But if you type into the internet, electromagnetic fusion containment,
mm-hmm.
You'll see there's a lot of activity in there, and there's a lot of things going on. There's one reactor over in England.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say they've just about got the fields to sustain and contain themselves. And if they have, they haven't showed their full design, because it still looks like they're using a singularity approach of a tutorial compressor. They would have to have at least two to get what's necessary to make it work.
I have to tell you this story, David. It was about, I come from a psychic family, so it's normal for me to talk to spirits on the other side. And about 3-4 years ago, I was first contacted by Professor Albert Einstein, wonderful man. And we had a long talk, about three and a half hours one day in Olympia. I was coming out of a library, and he said to me, I heard you want to talk to me. And I looked around, nobody was there, and I said, who's that? He said, this is Albert Einstein. So we had quite a discussion at this park bench, and he kept introducing me to his friends, and introduced me to Leonardo da Vinci, and then Senator Robert F. Kennedy, and then I was introduced to John F. Kennedy, and after that, Nostradamus. And then after Nostradamus, I was introduced to Nikola Tesla. And Mr. Tesla said something very interesting to me a couple of years ago. And it directly relates to what you're saying here, David, that we would have free energy devices opening up the start of a true golden age here on planet Earth within a very short time. And you're one of the pioneers opening that door to this new golden age. And I'm so happy, David, that you're sharing this with people today, because I've always known that there are alternatives to fossil fuels. Many people have invented, I think, a legitimate free energy devices on this planet and other energy machines and methods. But many of the inventors have either disappeared, met their demise, and they've been stopped from publicizing it too much. But eventually, I know the truth is going to come out. And you're helping with that, David, so I want to thank you so much for your work in that.
Well, just really everything evolved out of necessity. It was a necessity to keep people at bay. I knew there would be problems competing institutions that don't want to see this stuff come about.
Right.
And best way I found, people ask me, why are you releasing it upon the day you die?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's because if the last thing the bad boys would want to happen to me is for me to die, because if it does, all it's going to drop out on them really quick. So they'll probably want me to live forever. So it's one way, if anything, they make sure I don't have an accident.
Sure.
But eventually it will. I'll get old and kill over, and everybody will get a chance to put this thing together. And, I also will have the prototype, the full-blown working prototype. I've made the provisions for it to be released to a certain area, a certain way, and y'all will actually have a prototype. If you can't get it right in your lab, you can come down and copy this thing. So it's going to be also, I don't want to be around and be in the middle of a of the fray of all the energy companies panicking and trying to stop things. The politics involved is going to be just absolutely horrendous. There will be a big shift. For instance, the oil will be reduced to a lubricant. Mm. That's it.
Interesting.
Now, can you imagine what that would mean on a global economic scale?
My goodness. Think of the disposable income, additional disposable income that people would have that they would need to spend on gasoline, for example, or even airplane tickets. I mean, they're all running. Yeah.
It's all going to shift.
Wow.
At first, it won't look like it's a good thing because all the opposing forces are going to make it look as bad as they can. But
yeah.
What will win out is that the thing runs and people start using it, and especially little developing countries, they're in a state of development about where we were in the 50s
right
now. And so they have a need a necessity to consume like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Resources, this would fill in a big need for that. And while they're doing that, they're doing it without a carbon footprint.
Wow.
Amazing. And that's gonna stir a lot of stuff up. It's just gonna be a big, interesting situation, and it's pretty interesting to answer your question. I'm not really sure how it's gonna go. I think that it will develop in smaller countries. They'll be enjoying the benefit of it. Bigger countries will bring it on, but boy, when they do, it's not like you build something and you put it to work like a wheelbarrow,
right?
And there's not much impact. This thing is going to be an absolute Gordian knot for powers to be to try to figure out how do you use this,
right,
without unraveling all the other systems that's all built onto it.
Wow, amazing.
A good example is you won't need coal anymore. So imagine all the people that's going to be out of work. I'm from West Virginia.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you're from West Virginia. That's where they mined it.
There's some kind of galactic irony about that.
Oh, my goodness.
I was born in number 10 Pocahontas coal fields.
Sure.
To a group, to a family of coal miners.
Uh-huh.
My dad was a functional illiterate. My mother taught him to read and write.
Wow.
And there I am sitting over in the corner working quantum physics differential mechanics on 7. Go figure. It's just like, you can't make up stuff. It's crazy.
That's amazing. Well, you know, one thing I like about you, David, is your humbleness. You're a very down-to-earth guy, and you're able to talk about complicated scientific concepts in a way that everybody can understand it. And that's what I really like about talking to you.
Yeah, that's something I'd like to talk to Einstein about. I think real true genius is when you come up with something and you can explain it to the person on the street without any further education. They get it.
Right.
Then what you've done is worth something.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you got something that's so damn complicated, that's such on a high pedestal, it's right. Of the elitist status.
Right.
That's not very brilliant to me. That's kind of petty and small.
Sure.
To be able to bring out what you make and do and then plug it right into the systems where everybody can immediately understand it, that I consider is pretty genius, whoever can do that. But,
I try. Yeah, my next question is kind of related to this, David. And, people on this planet are very smart. And I think that there's been many inventors, for example, in the past who've invented some incredible things, but they've never really gotten their ideas out into mainstream. Look at the medical advances during the last century. Like, I don't know if you heard of this, but the Raymond Rife, for example, who... He built a machine in the 1930s to cure cancer, and he claimed that he used to get patients from hospitals where the hospitals had given up on people. I think he had 9 or 10 patients at his clinic in the Los Angeles area in 1938, 39. He cured all of them, and then he made this machine. But he Unfortunately, he suffered a lot of ridicule later. But I think that the technology's out there to make this planet a better place. And there's been forces, perhaps, who've been working against getting that information out. So it's good you've kept quiet in your own work.
Well, you know, there's the real truth to what you just said. There's a colleague of mine that built this machine, mm-hmm. and it's just recently happened. And matter of fact, I've got to go have a treatment done by this machine. What it is, it's let's see, they have antibiotics now that they kill bacteria with, mm-hmm. and a lot of the bacteria today is starting to become superbugs where they're resistant to the bacteria.
Right.
But you basically have a bacterial infection or you will have a viral infection. And for virals, they have absolutely nothing. The doctors they can't seem to ever say two things. I don't know is the worst thing. And the second one is I am wrong. Oh. They never say they're wrong and they never say I don't know.
That's
and
true.
I have never seen a discipline that practiced that so heavily as the medical communities do.
Yeah.
But this doctor, he is he's a full-blown MD. Mm-hmm. That's why I won't say his name, because he's done call enough flack already. He's had to move around continuously, mm-hmm. and he's still able to keep his license, mm-hmm. Because he doesn't really put this machine out available. But what he built was so cool. I had this terrible congestion and mucus that was constantly coming out of my lungs, and it was crystal clear all the time. So he heard me coughing with it, and he said, what's going on there? And I said, well, I went to go get, they said I had a bacterial infection, but there's a viral infection. So they gave me two rounds of Z-Pax, which is horse pill size antibiotics.
Oh, that must have been fun.
It was. I'm lucky. I don't seem to have any adverse effects of antibiotics, except it lightened up the congestion some, but it still had it. And he said, well, that's right, because you have both. You have a bacterial infection and a viral infection. Mm-hmm. Now, they killed off the bacteria with the amoxicillin, but your viral's still going on strong. And I went, yeah, I know. I can feel it in the lungs. So anyway, he pulled about, I would say, half a pint of blood out of my veins. Mm-hmm. And he takes the blood, and we go in this room, and he puts it inside this machine. And we leave the room, and he closes the door and throws the switch. And the ultraviolets are so bright in there, it would just be like staring at the sun. It would blind you.
Right.
And my blood gets exposed to that for about 3 or 4 minutes. He shuts it down. He brings the blood back, and he puts it back in my veins.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Okay. And I said, well, boy, the blood sure looks different because it is totally black. It looks like oil.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And he said, and then there was a smell with it. And I went, he asked me, do you recognize that smell? I said, yeah, I do. Hmm. From my own lab. I said, that's ozone. He goes, you're exactly right. Your blood is now basically ozone.
Wow.
Back in your veins. And he said, what do you see in the mirror? And he held a mirror over me, and I looked at it, and I went, wow, look at that bright red ring around my neck. And he goes, what do you think's happening there? And I said, everybody's running to the attic. And he stood there for about 10 seconds, and he went, God, that's brilliant. That's exactly what's happening. What's happening is the ozone's now flowing back through my own blood. My own blood's flowing through my veins. But this particular blood's now ozone emitting. And what's happening, the virals are running to the top of the skin trying to get out of the body. And they make a bright red ring around your neck, all the way around your neck.
That's fascinating. Wow.
And then I came back the next day. He did the same process again. The ring was about half as bright as red as it was the first day.
Uh-huh.
Came back a third day, and you could barely see the ring, and it went away in just about an hour. And he said, that's it. You don't need anymore. All the virals are dead in you.
Oh my goodness.
And my lungs cleared up. I didn't have any more congestion. My coughing stopped. That's another thing. Coughing's all the time. If you remember this last winter, a cough started across the country, and it was just horrendous.
Right.
The cough went on for months.
Right.
And that was a viral cough. That was not a bacterial cough. Mm-hmm. And they had nothing for us. And my doctor, I went and had him check out my lungs and everything. This is a very good doctor. And he told me, he said, all the symptoms I was feeling was due to overweight.
Oh, wow.
I'd been embarrassed if I said that. It had nothing to do with, because it's such a ridiculous statement.
Wow.
It's a viral infection. And the type of science that my friend is using, I can't remember the spelling of it, but it's called kinesis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's where you're modifying or exchanging the blood and putting it back in the body, and it solves whatever the problems are you're dealing with.
That's amazing. Wow.
So anyway, he, like I said, he just moved to a new city, and he keeps this very quiet because they will, persecuting is what they'll do.
Right.
But he has, the point to all this is, to back up what you said, this thing is not a snake oil, well, cures everything. It just basically addresses viral infections, but it does have another use. And this is where he stepped on toes and they got upset. AMA did, because he'd have patients come into his office and they are under chemotherapy and radiation. Mm-hmm. And the side effects of that is just horrendous to watch a person go through. It's terrifying.
Right.
Their body mass drops to about half. They lose so much weight, they lose their hair, and if it don't kill them, they will get rid of the cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the side effects is you're constantly throwing up.
Wow.
Constant.
Wow.
With the chemo. And if you ever met anybody who went through chemo, ask them about it. They'll tell you, throwing up is just unreal.
Right.
So they were coming there, and he used the same system that he used on me to get rid of my viral infection.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? They did not lose their hair. They did not lose their body mass, and not one of them threw up.
Wow, amazing.
And they went through the whole chemo and radiation process, and the doctors were asking them, what are you doing that you're not losing your hair and you're losing, but you're not even throwing up? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, oh, no, I just take vitamins. Because they know not to tell them, oh, well,
sure.
This guy's run my blood through this stuff. So anyway, he did it for as long as he could in a big city, and finally he had to leave because there's just so many people coming to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he got the suspicion on the big hospitals that something's up, because these patients are not sick. They don't need any of the other side effect medications. They needed none.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're stepping on toes. You're starting to interfere with a multi-billion dollar system and taking the money out of it. So
David, could you hold that thought there? We've got about a minute and a half left, and I want you to carry that on in our next hour. But this is just a fascinating story. My goodness. I wish we had true freedom in this country and elsewhere around the world to pursue remedies that would truly cure people and help them, rather than just siphon money off from people and give it to big pharmaceutical companies. It doesn't seem right to me. But
no, it's not right. It's wrong on every level.
You know.
But I've got nothing good to say about it.
Yeah. Well, what I'd like to do is pick up with that. And Eric, if we could play the Star Trek theme, I think that'd be appropriate if you could find it. There, we'll wrap this up at the end here, and then we'll pick up with this idea during the top of the next hour. So please hold on, everyone. And David, if you could please hold on the line, I'll bring you back on in about 10 minutes or so.
Okay,
please hold on.
Space, the final frontier.